nature of temptation. Now, when it says this, that no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. Amen. Common to man. When it says a temptation is common to man, what that word means in the Bible, it means that your temptations are human. You ever heard somebody say, well, I couldn't help it. The demons just drove me. Your demon possessing need deliverance. Amen. If a demon's driving you, scripturally sound, you're possessed. Guess what, my friend? When I was a sinner, most of the times I chose what I did. I may have been tempted and weak and had no will to stand against things. I had no empowered will. But guess what, my friend? I felt that temptation. I realized this even when I first got saved. That guess what? They were common temptations. And that word common there, it means it's human. It's not always supernatural. It's not so powerful. It's not so unique that we cannot resist it. Basically, it is human. It is not so demonic where we are just helpless victims. Yes, temptation can be derived from a spirit or the enemy, but guess what? That enemy's not making you do anything until you yield yourself. Now, if you're a sinner today, you got a different story. Amen. You're yielding to sin. You make yourself somebody that's accessible to the enemy. Yes, he will partially drive you. Yes, if you let him take up residence, he's going to influence you and even at times drive you to do things. But when you become born again, the Bible lets us know one stronger than the enemy comes. He kicks the devil out. He sets up residence. He wants to be furnished with good things. And when it comes into your life, guess what? You're not on the throne. The devil's not on the throne. But Jesus has to be on the throne. Amen. And you understand with Him on the throne, you can overcome. Now understand this, that when it comes to trial and temptation, we cannot always blame it on the enemy. It is in the same for all of us. All of us face temptations. They may be different. We have different susceptibilities. We may have different struggles, different besetting struggles. Guess what, my friend? Everybody's different here. The devil may fight you with different things, but your temptations are very common and they're very human, and the devil's going to tempt you through the outlet of your flesh. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt you through your senses. He's going to tempt you through your mind. He's going to tempt you, but guess what? Guess what? Somebody else is probably being tempted too. It is common to man. They are human. They come to you, and the devil's going to tempt you to do human things. You'll notice the only time the devil really tempts people to do things that are supernatural, it's usually very suicidal, evil things, jump off a building, whatever it is. But the devil's going to tempt you with those things that are common, those things that come to us. Now, understand this, that Jesus even experienced this. It says in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was all in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows our nature. He knows our humanness. When He got tempted there in the wilderness, it was a real temptation, my friend. He did not numb Himself to that. Do you tell me, my friend, you go 40 days without eating anything, and then the devil says, turn these stones into bread. Don't you think that might be slightly tempting if you're hungry, amen? Don't you think that when the devil was trying to throw the plan of the cross and trying to get him to do something else, my friend, don't you think they're real temptations? Yes, they are, my friend. Temptations are real. Now, you've got to understand this today. I want to establish this point before we move forward here. The nature of temptation is this today. It is not some kind of supernatural power beyond us. You can resist the temptations of the enemy. We've got to get out of that. I've heard people demonize things their whole life. Every flat tire, the devil got my flat tire. No, he didn't. Your tires were bald, you got to change them. Not saying the devil don't ever. I've read things where maybe missionaries were hindered. But the devil ain't trying to stop you to get to Walmart. You know, it was a few weeks ago, I went out to my car. And I went to push, you know, I've got a push button start car, you know, my Altima there. And I pushed, and guess what? The battery's bad. I didn't get mad at the devil. I had to go to Advance Auto Parts. And I got mad at them for how much a battery cost. I didn't say, you sorry devil. I said, man, that battery's old. Hey, man, the devil's not fighting your washing machine. He's fighting you. devil's not fighting your vehicle. Guess what? He's fighting you. Things mechanically do break down. I understand that there can be things that happen at times, but hear me today. Our temptations and trials are carnal. And guess what? Guess what? Even when the devil came to Eve, he used a very common thing to tempt her. You don't see her having Eve in the chokehold and say, "Eat the apple, Eve." She couldn't look at God and say, "He shoved the apple in my mouth." No. He tempted me, and I bit the apple. That's what you got to understand. Nobody's making you bite the apple. Nobody's making you do that. Nobody's making you do a drug. Nobody's making you love. Nobody's doing that. There may be a temptation. There may be a resource that thoughts are coming from. Whatever it is. But you've got to find what it is. And you've got to understand this is common. I have the ability through Jesus to withstand this. I can't overcome temptation. My friend, you've got to get that. Now let's look at the extent of our temptation. And this will help you. I believe somebody will get help today if you get these points I'm preaching. Notice this. The extent of the temptation is this. But God is faithful. Amen. Has God been faithful to you? Praise the Lord. God is faithful. In a sickness, God is faithful. In temptation to sin, God is faithful. In temptation to do something in this world, if I'm in the middle of a battle, if there's a death in my family, if I'm having financial issues, whatever it is, I've come out on the every side of a trial and I've said this, God is faithful. Let Him take everything that I got. Let us be like a Job where He attacks all of our resources and even touches our health. But guess what? God is faithful. You've got to get that in your mind today. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? So know this, God knows you as an individual. I guess one of the great mysteries is how God is so universal yet so individual. Do you know when God deals with me? He deals with me as Derek Jones. He does not deal with me as one of the many saints who I know you're on the church roll and what's wrong today? I'm glad I ain't got to go to the priest and tell him all about. Isn't that pathetic? God knows me. God sees me. God understands me. We have to get that in our mind. He knows you as an individual. And if you walk with the Lord and follow Him, you can have this assurance. He will not put more on you that you cannot bear. He will not let you walk through a trial that's going to destroy you. He will not let you walk through a valley that you're going to become so weak that you can't climb the mountain. He's going to help you through it, my friend. He knows you as an individual. And it doesn't matter if it's sickness or death or financial, or family, or marital, whatever it is. He has not looked at you if you are a believer and say, "Look, today I cannot wait to put this on them and destroy them." No, no, no. He's saying, "Look, this is on them today, but it's not going to destroy them. It's going to make them stronger. They're going to exercise their faith. They're going to exercise their love." And I'm telling you, my friend, God is faithful, and He will not let you be, or even let you be overwhelmed to the place that you cannot resist and that you cannot make it through, my friend. You've got to understand that. I draw great comfort in that. Anybody ever seen something that says maximum capacity? There's been a few times, and this is funny, but it's true. You ever been on an overfilled elevator? There's one time I was on an elevator. I mean, a lot of us were up there. And I thought, looking around, I said, "I'm not a little feller. And some of you ain't little either on this elevator." I began looking for the capacity. You know why? Because I didn't want to get that thing wedged in there somehow or broken. So I start looking there and it says like 2,500 pounds. I say, "Oh, we're good. Never mind." I may make up a quarter of that, but not all that. Amen. I said, "Look, maximum capacity. Even dump trucks on the road, they have a maximum capacity." I've even seen before I was a full-time minister, I worked in grain, and I loaded trucks, and I had a weighman's license. And there I would have to go to the scales, and there was times that they'd overloaded a truck, and I'd have to tell them, "Look, you got to go take 3,000 pounds off this truck. You got to take 5,000 pounds off this truck." And the reason being is this. There's been times that those containers, they get on a ship, and they're overloaded. ship. And guess what happens to that boat out in the middle of the ocean? It is over its capacity. And out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean somewhere, and guess what? That thing capsizes and all of those goods are lost. Guess what? God knows our capacity, my friend. We can look at this. We have low capacities in life. And God knows you. And if you're going through something today, He hasn't overloaded you. You may say, Lord, this is heavy. He may say, I know. You may say, Lord, I can't take another step. He may say, yes, you can. I've given you enough drive. I've looked at you. I've studied your life. I've studied your devotion. I've studied this. And guess what? This is a need-be trial. You've got to walk this way. You've got to go this way. There's context in this trial. Yes, you feel overloaded, but guess what? You are not reached your capacity yet. I'll never let you get there. Does anybody else find comfort in that? There's been times I felt overwhelmed. And guess what? I said, Lord, how can I? And God says, you can. I would have never allowed it to come to you if I did not know that you couldn't handle it. I would have never let that come into your life unless I knew that you could bear it. I find great truth in this, that He puts limits on the extent of our temptation. That temptation's coming to you. I can't resist. Yes, you can. God's not in it to destroy you. God knows that you can resist it. Your willpower has to get there. Guess what, my friend? Hear me today. Guess what? There is a ceiling to our temptation. There is a cap to it. There is a lid to it. He will not allow anything in this life to come against His faithful that is going to destroy them. You're going to make it, my friend. I want you to get that. You are going to make it, and you will make it if you stay beside the Lord. Now, let's understand this, and this is my last point. I want to drive this home because I want you to get help today. There's a way out of temptation. Not only does He put things on you or allow things to come into your life that doesn't overwhelm you, but this is what He says to us. But we'll with the temptation also do what? Make a way of escape. Now, I look at this and I find truth in that. That word escape there, it means an exit. There's always an exit in temptation. There's always a way through it. There's always a way to overcome it. There's always a parachute. There's always an escape hatch. There's always a way out. What a promise that is. What a promise. You know, I just want you to be honest with yourself today. Sometimes with preaching, it don't get personal. Preaching should be personal. What trial are you going through? You know your life as an individual. You know your family. You know the things that overwhelm you, feeling like they overwhelm you. You feel the things that are fighting against you. Or what sins or what temptations to sin do you have? What things does the enemy bring against you? What things does the world and the flesh try to bring against you? What is it that you wrestle with? And then say that, look, they're strong, but they're not stronger than God. Where sin is, grace does much more abound. I like what Kenny Moore said. He said, that means that the devil has vitamins, but God has mega vitamins. When sin thinks it's big, God always brings out something bigger and better and greater. It's always stronger. I'm telling you, my friend, when Paul wanted the thorn removed from his flesh, he found out, guess what? God's grace is greater than my thorn. Amen? God's grace is more powerful than my thorn. There is a way of escape. But guess, my friend, you said, Brother Derek, what is the way of escape? And I'm glad you asked, because this is a unique verse. Notice what it says here. God will with the temptation provide the way of escape, also that ye may be able to bear it. You ever heard of an escapist mentality? You're that by nature. I don't know about you. I don't go to the dentist. Me and Brother Neff was talking about the dentist this morning. I don't go to the dentist and say, hurt me, doc. I tell them, numb it up. And then I think I feel a tingle. I go, uh-huh. You feel it? I said, I think so. Numb it up. Anybody else been there? I don't like pain. You know, some folks say, what's your pain tolerance? I said, I'm not really sure. You know, you don't know until you're really pushed into that, I guess. But when I go to the doctor, they give me the option. Let me tell you this. I went to the dentist a while back, and they took an x-ray, and they said, you've got a mass underneath one of your teeth. I said, a mass? I said, how long do I have? And she kind of chuckled. She said, that don't mean it's just a mass.
She said, here's an appointment. Go to an oral surgeon. I said, that was a long week. So Hollis, I got a mass. And I remember going to the oral surgeon, and then the nurse comes in and she said, do you like to be put to sleep? I said, for what? I was like, what are you talking about getting put to sleep? I said, I come here for you to look at my mass thing. And she said, you know, she said, do you want to get put to sleep? If I said, and what's going on? She said, we may have to cut into your mass. I said, I've got to preach a funeral tomorrow. And I said, then I got to preach on Wednesday. I said, I can't just come in here and get my mouth cut on and all that stuff. I said, you got to let me know this stuff. So I'm here, I'm nervous again. They go cut my mouth open and look at this mass. The doctor comes in and he says, he looks at the x-ray. He said, oh, it's just a piece of bone. I said, well, thanks, you know. He said, you probably got hit in the mouth real hard or something. I remember multiple times in sports or something, getting elbowed or whatever. He said, those things can cause, you know, dension or something like that. I said, well, thank the Lord. But what I'm saying is this. When they asked me, do you want to get put to sleep? I said, yes, I do. I don't want to feel the pain. I want to escape the pain. My friend, we are escapists by nature. We like everything to just instantly, then we get out of the middle of it. If it's pain, Lord. If it's a trial, Lord. If it's a valley, Lord. If it's temptation, Lord. I want there to be instant escape. I want there to be Jesus show up with an S on His chest to fly me out of here. And to know, no, that's not how it happens. God wants you to understand this. He'll give you the strength to bear it. Now we look at this. He says this. He said, there's a way in escape that you may be able to bear it. So notice this. He will provide and always provides a way of escape, but that does not mean you won't have to bear anything. My friend, hear me today. The way out of the trial and the temptation is through the trial. The way out is through. I was praying about this, just trying to get the how I can show this to you. And I was praying, and I was trying to find an example. And in my mind, I was just thinking some different scenarios where even though there's an exit, you have to go through the fire. And I just imagined in my mind, I said, could you imagine right now? Imagine yourself being in a fire somewhere. And you're engulfed in flames. You see the flames all around you. The heat's all around you. You feel the pain. You feel all of these things. And there, the smoke, you're in hell and smoke. You fall down to your knees. And you look around, and at distance, you can see a lit up exit sign at distance. You say, look, I know there's a way out of here. I know I can get out of here, but I've got to get to that exit. But when you look at the exit between you and the exit, there's fire, there's raging flames, there's fire all around you. And you look at that and you say, I cannot make it there. I cannot get there. That's the only way out. I'm going to lay here and I'm going to die. And about that time, I just imagine in your mind, a firefighter shows up. He looks at you and says, look, we've got to get out of the building. If you stay here, you're going to die. You look at the firefighter and you tell him, sir, I know that, but the exit is over there and I'm right here and you're right here. How can we get there? The fireman's not going to look at you and says, look, close your eyes, tap your heels together, and wish you won't hear. Yeah, that's fairy tales. Won't you do that? That doesn't work. He's going to tell you this, look, this may hurt, but guess what? If you'll take my hand, and if you'll listen to my direction, we're going to get out of here. And there he looks at you. And next you know, say, he takes off maybe the fireman's jacket. He lays it on you, that fireproof jacket. There he gives you his oxygen. He embraces you. And he says, look, on the count of three, we're going to make a break for the exit. And when you make a break for the exit, yes, your hair may get singed. Yes, the fireman, you may hear him maybe groan from the pain. Maybe you feel the heat. But he gets to the door. He kicks it down. He takes you outside. And guess what? You were in a trial. You were in a fire. But there was an exit. But you had to go through the flames. But the thing is this. He took that jacket off and wrapped around you while he suffered. You know what Jesus did for you? He made a way of escape. In case of emergency, let me give you some advice. Don't sit there and wait for the flames to get too big. Don't wait and don't blame it. Say, oh no, do this. God has made a way of escape. Notice that what you're going through is not going to overtake you because God would not allow that. Notice that there is an exit. And that exit is not some mysterious escape hatch you don't know about. Quit waiting for the no. God is going to say this. The exit is one place. The exit is through me. You've got to endure it. You've got to endure it. As my wife gets ready to go to the piano, I want you to understand this today. If you have failed today, it's not because the trial was too hard. It's not because the temptation was too great. You failed because you didn't endure it. Hear me. You failed because you didn't endure it. There was a fire years ago. It started in the Garden of Eden, if you don't mind me putting it this way. Starting in the Garden of Eden is the fire of sin. Sin has consumed and ravaged everything in its path. That here it is, sin has destroyed and tore apart and killed lives. There's drug addicts. There's people that have addictions. There's people tonight, today. So I read one time, I don't know how accurate it is, but it says three people possibly a second die and go into eternity. Could you imagine 3, 6, 9? How many people go to hell? How many people go? I dare say a lot. Imagine a day, my friend, that fire started years ago. And just like if you're on an elevator or in a building, you look at the map there. It says, in case of emergency, do this. I want to tell you, guess what? You can't escape. There is hope. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the door. There's a song that says, it's too high, you can't go over it. It's too low, you can't go under it. It's too wide, you can't go around it. You've got to come in at the door. Don't try to bury. If you're a sinner here today, the reason you're miserable is because you don't know Jesus. The reason you have no power over temptation is because you don't have an empowered will and you need Jesus. You need Him. If you're here today and you're a believer and you're going through a trial, you're going through a valley, whatever it is, you're going through these things, you're going through temptation, whatever it is, the way out is to go through it and endure the best you can with God's help. God will help you. Amen. Stand to your feet all over this building. As it says in 1 Peter 1 and 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a sister that me and my wife, we know. She's a singer. Her name is Sister Carla Roller. Anybody ever heard of her? Sister Carla Roller. And precious lady, she's been blind her whole life. Sister Carla, I remember being a little kid. She'd sing, and what anointing. She was just such an anointed singer of the Lord. She's a wonderful sister. Has been blind. She said she was not blind when she was a little girl. She remembers a few images here and there. She said, but I've never seen anything. She'd never seen the sunset, whatever. You know, all those different pretty things, the flowers. Sister Carla ended up getting married to a gentleman. His name is Brother Al. And they had a child. The child that they had was Down syndrome. So here it is, Sister Carla's blind, and she has a Down syndrome son. Do you see how the devil would try to tempt and fight? And say, look, there ain't no God. Look at all you're going through. I believe it was just last year, news came. Sister Carla went to call her son. He's dead. 16, 17-year-old Down syndrome boy. Dies. Don't understand why. Blind. Has a Down syndrome child. Now he's dead. The other day I seen a video on the internet. Sister Carla was singing a song. She said, people often ask me why I'm still serving the Lord. She said, to be honest with you, there was times I couldn't do anything else but hold on. That's all. She said, there's times I didn't understand it rationally. She said, I couldn't calculate the trial. I couldn't add it up. It didn't make sense to me as a human. She said, but I held on. And I still am going to serve the Lord. Amen.